It doesn't take the three of you very long to get a layout of this apartment. After all, there's three of you, and it's not a large apartment. Upon entering and flicking on the lights, you quite quickly establish a basic layout. You have a lovely hallway before you. It leads into a very modern living room, kitchen. There's even a bathroom. It's all very nice, very modern, very fancy new furniture, a record player, all the latest kitchen appliances, a really nice fridge. This is a very, very nice apartment. There's only one door closed, but otherwise you've, in a few minutes, been able to get your grounds in the apartment. There's nothing suspicious so far. No bodies, no corpses, no strange files. It all just looks like a very nice apartment you've managed to sneak into. What do you do?
Yeah, so I just unlocked the door, right? With a little bit of help from Fred. And I still think I kind of let Fred go first. If he takes the lead.
Absolutely, I would have. So I'm gonna walk in first. You said that there wasn't anything strange that we noticed at first. Does that include any strange smells? We've run into a bit of interesting ones at the gallery.
You certainly did. The only smell is air freshener. Maybe a hint of perfume coming from somewhere. Again, there's only one closed door. Everything else seems quite open plan. So again, it takes like 2 or 3 minutes for you, all three of you, to just glance around and see what seems to just be a very nice apartment.
Yeah, this is probably where those dresses come from.
Well, it looks like no one's home yet again, so what should we do?
I don't know. I look around for a clock on the wall just to get an idea of what time it actually is now.
You are walking along just by this closed door. It does seem to be a nice little plastic clock on the wall. It's about 10 o'clock now.
Let's just look around.
Alright. I would like to look around for if they have anywhere where they keep their mail or something, maybe?
Well, you go to a little letter catcher, but it seems to be empty. You're looking around. You don't see anywhere else, other than, of course, that closed door.
I'm gonna look back to the other two.
I'm going to walk up to the closed door and I'm going to look at the others and just kind of motion at it with my hand up as if to knock. You know, never know.
Yeah, sure. Okay, let's keep it civil. Let's just get him out of here if he is here.
Well, we already broke in. There's really no civility left as I just kind of rap my knuckles on the doors a couple times.
No response.
All right, if that's the case, I'm going to check the door handle to see if it's open and unlocked.
You give it a little jiggle, and it seems to be coming open. You're pretty sure if you fully open the door, it will open without a problem, and you'll be entering whatever's on the other side.
All right, then I'm going to push the door open slowly and see what I can see in this room.
Initially, it's dark, so you feel you'll have to feel around for a light switch to see, but it does look like it's just a room and not a whole other bunch of rooms, just the one.
Alright, well, we might have something in here, so I'm gonna try to search for a light switch to turn it on and see what I can see in this room.
You flick on the electric light and are greeted once again with what obviously is a very nice bedroom. However, it is slightly more interesting than the rest of the apartment, because while the rest of the apartment is surprisingly neat, luxurious, but also maybe even a little bit boring, this actually looks like someone lives here. You immediately see a whole bunch of suitcases sort of quite messily stacked up against a large, pleasant double bed. There are wardrobes, which are closed currently, and there are a bunch of letters and files sort of stacked on a desk. There's even a big red envelope on the front of the desk. There are also, on the walls, paintings. Beautiful paintings of strange landscapes, very colourful, and there's a couple of portraits of... It's a little hard to describe when you first look at them. One of them you initially just think is the sun, or like a glowing light. You can't really describe it better than that. Right next to that It's a similar feeling, but this one is definitely not a light. No, a portrait. A woman's face. A blonde woman? Again, it's hard to describe. You're not really sure why it's hard to describe, but it's very beautiful. You want to say beautiful, but the word doesn't come out of your mouth correctly or doesn't enter your brain correctly. It's more than beautiful, but that's all your clumsy brain can say. You're a bit stunned, to be honest, if you're just staring at this painting.
Yeah, and I just look at it for a while, and then I notice that the other ones are staring too, and I just scoff and start moving up to this painting that is obviously drawing my attention and everyone's.
As Liza's moving up, I want to draw my attention to the big red envelope, too. And I want to head towards that.
You head over to the envelope, Georgette. You pick it up. It's got photographs. Black and white photographs. The first one, it looks like someone's taken them on the street during the day. Photographs of a car. And then you look at another photograph, it's the same car. It's a silver Chrysler. Quite similar to the one you saw earlier tonight, you suddenly think to yourself. It's a very nice brand of car.
Hey guys, you wanna look at these photos that I found? I'm gonna point to the car on the photo. This same car, I swear, was outside of the apartment that we were at before this one.
Fred, you kind of feel a bit annoyed that someone's asking you to look away from this extremely wonderful painting to look at photos, but you can do what you want.
Alright, after glancing a bit over at the painting again and just kind of furrowing my brow looking at it, trying to think of a word but not being able to, I'm gonna blink and turn over to Georgette and saunter over and walk over with my elbow on her shoulder and look down over the photographs. Alright, did you see anybody at that car?
I didn't see who was driving it, but they had pulled up next to a van that was also there. It looked like they maybe exchanged some words, they were talking, and then they drove off. But I just think it's interesting.
Definitely is, but the question is why this Carlita Schiller was interested in this car, this vehicle. Is there anything else on this desk that'll give us more information? And I'm going to start rifling through some of the papers.
A lot of it seems a bit irrelevant, although you do then suddenly notice receipts for art, orders, painting equipment. Wait a minute, you think some of these papers, you saw similar papers at Starker's gallery. It's like it's the same sort of mail. Also, if you look at the bags, you'll notice not only are they very unneat, but the clothing inside is men's shirts, men's coats, that sort of thing. Quite obviously a man's style, at least for this period of time.
Alright. Well, it looks like the same kind of mail as what was at the gallery. I'm gonna walk over and open up some of the wardrobes.
You open them up. There are beautiful, beautiful dresses. Red, blue, green, sapphire, all of a very similar material to the one that Liz currently has on her person. And Liz, you would notice this as well. Wonderful clothing.
Yeah, and I realize I'm standing there with the painting in my hands as I've lifted it down off the wall. And I just try to... Okay, fine. I'll shake it off, whatever it is about this thing. Hang it up on the wall. I look over at the dresses. Well, I guess that answers it. This is Schiller's place, not his. So maybe they take turns at the different places.
Well, I mean, either that or they live together. The suitcases over there, the bags, they have men's clothing.
Oh. So... is it more things here than there was at the other place, really?
Hard to tell. One thing, Liz, that strikes you is even though this is clearly a woman's room, you get that feeling. Some things are missing. It doesn't really feel as lived in as it should. But There are a bunch of clothes that definitely look like a man's clothes. They stick out a little, if you're honest. But there was also something you noticed as you were putting the picture back on the wall. You noticed there was something actually inscribed in the frame. You only really noticed it when you took the painting off the wall.
And I squint at it and try to read it.
You know what this is. It's one of those things where the artist does the little signature, right? You don't normally see it, but because you had the frame at a certain angle, you could just sort of see that part of the painting. If you peek at it a little, you'll see it seems to show a signature. C. Starker. And then the words, "For my muse."
And I mouth that, half to myself, half to the others. "For my muse."
Is that what it says on there?
Yeah.
Ah, so they were probably lovers then.
I guess. I mean, yeah, if they live like this. And I just look around, is there any other door I can open? Because I'm not getting anything here.
No, this is all there is. Georgette, as you're looking over the photos, you see there is actually a little note all the way at the back of the folder. And a little card as well.
I'll pull that out and read it.
The note says, "You're right. Been following these coup cars for some time. Good lead. Still not sure where they come from. Do more digging. You did work good. Keep moving around. Keep staying at the other place. I'll let you know more as soon as I can." It's all written in quite shorthand sort of handwriting.
I'll be sure to read that out loud as well to the others. Move to the other place.
I'm guessing the gallery, right?
Who wrote this? I mean, who is it for? What is it addressed to, this envelope?
I'm gonna look it over again, yeah.
Looking it over, it doesn't have an address on it, but then there is that card, and you look at it and you realize it's a business card.
Alright, well, looks like it's a business card. I'm gonna look and see what the name or anything, any information on it.
The business card says, "Roger Moran, private detective." It has a phone number and an address.
Interesting, it's a detective's card.
And then there's a picture of a car that you think you saw outside the other place.
Right.
So the detective has taken photos of the car. Someone who is doing something?
And I'm sorry, you said the envelope wasn't addressed to anyone, right?
The envelope is not addressed to anyone. But again, there are several photos of the cars, different locations, but you could put two and two together. One of those photos looks an awful lot like the outside of the gallery.
Is the detective looking into who? The people that are looking after, I mean, like, Christian, or the people that are outside of it? I'm really confused.
It's difficult saying. We don't know who the cars belong to, but it seems like Christian might have hired this detective to keep an eye on these people, or maybe the female that lives in this apartment.
Well, if they're both gone missing and the mess that we just witnessed at the studio, do you think we should call him?
Fred's just gonna groan and just start looking around for a landline to see if he can't give this private detective a call.
You begin leaving the room. It's at this point, Fred, that you hear the sound of rain. It's really raining heavily outside. That's unusual.
Well, shit. And I wore my good tie. I'm gonna go over, the reason why it's so loud, is it because there's any windows open or broken? Is there any sign that foul play? We're trying to find someone here and it's empty again.
You think it's because there's a nice window in the kitchen that looks onto the street below. Again, you're on the top floor of this apartment building. You go over and it's really loud. Like, it's like the rain is beating down on the glass extremely heavily. Like there's a storm, which is a little strange. It was raining earlier, but only a little, and after all, this is Las Vegas. It's the desert. It doesn't really storm that much. At least not without some warning.
I want to follow Fred out. And, hey, you're probably going to need this. I'm going to hand him the card.
Thanks. Wasn't thinking about that. I'm more just frustrated that, we can't find any of these people. We can't find this Starker, and we're... No matter where we go, it's dead ends, and I just...
Yeah, I get
Fred
that.
Fred size.
It's a really frustrating wild goose chase that they're sending us on. And would I notice the rain when I follow Fred out?
You do. It's raining extremely heavily.
That's odd. I don't remember anyone saying anything about a storm coming in.
There's way too many things odd about what's been going on. Between the rain, the sketches of us going to this apartment complex, there's gotta be something here we're supposed to find.
As Fred's saying that to me, I'd like to go, is there a window I can look out to see what the rain looks like?
You can. You begin moving to a different window. You at this point notice that the kitchen does seem to have a landline phone. Very big, very fancy looking, with that very modern giant wheel on the front where you have to put your finger in and the numbers go click, click, click. It's very new. You then realize that you can't see anything out the window. It's pitch black. You can hear the rain, but you can't see the street below, the street lamps. Just darkness.
Friend?
Yeah, what's up? I'm gonna go over to Georgette and put my elbow on her shoulder again.
Two things. Found a rotary phone. Second thing, can you see anything out this window?
I'm guessing it's the same for me.
Correct. Darkness. You can hear the rain, but you can't see the street below at all.
You know, I'm not used to anywhere being this dark. This is irregular for even somewhere that's a little more suburban than where we're working.
Yeah, I mean, I could have sworn there were street lights outside when we came in. We should be able to see that, right? Unless the power went out?
Well, if the power went out, you'd still see cars going past.
I don't like this.
I'm gonna check, is the window tinted? I'm gonna try opening it.
You start trying to open the window, and you begin sort of opening it a little, and immediately rain begins coming in, hard and heavy, cold rain.
I immediately close it, and I look very angry.
You got a little wet?
Well, whatever's going on with this storm, apparently the rain is coming in from this direction, so not a good idea to open this window.
Yeah, I'm gonna point towards where the phone is. Why don't we just call that detective and get out of here? This place is giving me the creeps.
And I kind of watch Fred coming over to Georgette again doing this thing, and I can't help but feel a bit annoyed, but somehow the thought of just my daughter comes in and I just get really worried. And I don't know, she's at home now. The only people there is the other people at the casino. I just want to get back to her as quickly as possible. And I kind of annoyingly acknowledge that there's just darkness outside, but then I go over to the phone. Okay, just give me the card.
I'll hand Liz the card.
And I start dialing the number.
You start dialing the number, taking your time, but eventually the call will go through. Georgette, at this point, you notice a quite pleasant smell. You earlier noticed that the flat did have a scent of perfume coming from somewhere. You actually notice one of the cupboards is open a little, and there's a whole bunch of scented candles. Someone clearly likes their fancy scented candles.
And we're in the kitchen, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to walk up to the candles, open the door the rest of the way. I'm going to just take one out to examine it.
It's a lovely jasmine candle. You're familiar with this sort of thing, funnily enough, after all. Some of the interesting people you interact with these days are fond of candles. Adds a certain ambience to some of the conversations you have about esoteric matters.
So I'm going to just slip it back into the cupboard nonchalantly. And then as Liz starts to dial on the phone, I want to wander around and see if I can notice anything else that might be familiar to me.
Liz, you manage to eventually get through to the operator on the other end. He connects you to the phone you're trying to actually get to. And after a few more rings, you hear...
Yeah, this is Roger Moran.
Good evening. I'm Liz Bennett. I am calling from the apartment of Miss Schiller.
Say what now?
Are you familiar with a Miss Schiller? We found that you'd been investigating something for her.
Who's asking?
I'm Liz Bennett. We're looking for what we believe is the boyfriend of hers, a Christian Starker, and we were led to this apartment. There's no one here, and there was actually quite a bit of a mess at his place. So
look,
now
I don't know anything.
Hey, we're just trying to find the guy.
The phone hangs up on you.
That's so rude. How did he sound like?
You're not entirely sure. A man, maybe 30s, 40s, slightly gruff sounding. He sounded a bit rude when he answered, but he definitely sounded ruder when you started saying things like calling from Carlita Schiller's apartment. The way he hung up was a bit abrupt. Not the sort of abrupt that someone normally does for no reason. You think to yourself.
Well, he didn't want to talk. Maybe he was scared.
Well, we got one of two leads now avoiding our conversation, so either we try to find that car, we look for something else around this place, or we literally go and pay this Roger Moran, or Moron, whatever it is, a visit.
You do have his address. It's there on the card. Not hard to find.
Yeah, I guess, you know, if we don't have anything else, then that's our only lead, isn't it? Unless that car decides to show up. And I look out the dark window and I kind of get a chill running down my spine.
And as you do, you hear what sounds like lightning from somewhere. And then all the lights go out.
And I just kind of drop the receiver. The candles. Can you light a candle?
Would I be in earshot of this?
You are indeed, as you just went to investigate a little more. You would also notice the lights go out, and then in all the darkness, you'd hear them speaking, yes.
Word, and I'm going to go straight back into the kitchen. And when I hear Liz say something about candles, I'll go to the cabinet and grab one of them out.
Yes, luckily, having already found it, you are able to, in the dark, stumble about a bit, but you find a candle, and luckily, matches were very close by the candles. What do you do?
I'm going to set it on the counter, and I'll go ahead and light it.
You light the candle, and suddenly there is light again. Only now it is candlelight, and a single candle, as you are in this dark kitchen. The rain is heavy outside. And you, Fred, can you roll me a observe the situation as you try and get your bearings?
18.
You're going to get to ask two questions then on this scene, and the reason you're asking them is because you just suddenly feel something is wrong. You suddenly feel that you need to be alert. So, from such questions as, what here poses the biggest threat? What can I use to my advantage? What should I be on the lookout for? What's being hidden from me? What seems strange about this? And what is my best way through this? Feel free to ask a question.
What is the biggest threat to me? And what is the best way through this?
What is the biggest threat? You begin looking around. You can see Liz and Georgette. Luckily, you're all together. You then hear something. Something... Where is it coming from? Your gaze kind of goes down where the hallway is. It still is there, but obviously it's dark. And towards the door, which you did close, of course. The door that leads outside the apartment. You think you can hear something. It's a strange sort of sloshing sound. like a drain being emptied out. But there's also something else, and you can smell something. Something that smells like sewage. Suddenly starts wafting in. Everyone else will start to smell the same smell, but you notice it first. You definitely think that is the biggest threat. For some reason, you don't know why, but your natural instincts just kick in.
What the hell is that sound?
What?
I'm gonna put my fingers over my lips, and I'm gonna point towards the direction of where the door is.
I start backing up. I feel that smell. I smell that smell as well. And I kind of grasp for my purse and the brass knuckles that I have in there.
Does it smell? Is it like a methane almost type of smell?
Yes.
I'm going to put the candle out.
Darkness covers everything.
All right. So it's just like pure black in here now then?
Yes. And when you do that, all three of you hear the door begin to buckle as if something is hitting it again and again. You know, of course, that the door was already had the lock broken, so it doesn't take long before you hear the door just sort of slam open. You can't see anything, but you can feel there is something at the door. There's a waft of sewage and blood and iron. It fills the air, and that sloshing sound is accompanied by a sort of strange murmuring. Several things, people, animals, sort of, there's lots of them, and they're just sort of going. And it's coming from the darkness of that hallway.
I am terrified. I get really scared, but I also have this determination. I just kind of huddle close to Georgette.
Was there any sort of fire escape on any of the sides of the building on our way in that we would have seen?
Yes, just outside the apartment there was a fire escape. And Fred, in answer to your question, the second question of what's the best way through this, you obviously aren't really sure initially, but your brain just tells you two things. You need to get out of the apartment. Going straight down the hallway would normally be the quickest way, but you have no idea what's down there. But the layout, the sort of living room and the kitchen and all that, it was a bit open plan. You could maybe go round, and you wouldn't necessarily have to go straight in the hallway just yet. You could sort of go round whatever might be in that hallway. Although, again, this is all happening very quickly.
Instead of going for my stiletto, I'm going to reach out and fumble around for the wrists of both Georgette and Liza, and I'm just going to start pulling them in the direction that I remember the apartment being in so that we go around trying to find the side where the fire escape is. At this point, fuck getting wet. I would rather not deal with what just came through that door.
Both of you feel a hand reaching for your wrists. You're pretty sure it's Fred, at least you hope so. What do you two do? Do you let yourselves be guided along in the dark?
Yeah, I'll kind of jerk back at first, just because I'm startled, but then I'll realize who it probably is and just use my other hand to cover my mouth from the heavy breathing and follow.
Yeah, I just kind of stifle a yelp. I try to hold it in, and okay, let him take the lead. He knows something.
Fred, as you're taking the lead, I would like you to roll. Act under pressure. But good news is you will get a +1 on this roll as you are acting on your initial observation.
15 is a +3.
You begin guiding both Georgette and Liz through the dark. It's a little bit of a strange experience, if you're honest. Not really what you were expecting to be doing tonight. You kind of stumble a little bit. You think you are in the big living room. You must be. And again, you remember that it goes around a little, around the hallway. There's a moment where you pause. You think you can hear something thumping along in the hallway. And all of you can hear this, really, as if it's just moving along. But again, there's a wall. There's a wall between you and this thing right now. Maybe it's heading towards the kitchen where you just were, you think. You just wait. You just wait a few seconds. And then you keep going. And you think you can sort of start to make out where the door is in all this darkness. You think your eyes are starting to adjust just a little. There's the door. And you don't think there's anything blocking your way to the door. But all of you can feel that this thing is here. All of you, please, roll me a keep it together as an aura of dread and panic comes over you all.
11 for me.
13 from me.
And a 10 for me.
I'm afraid all of you are not quite able to be as steely in your resolve as you were before. After all, those were just dead people. You don't know why. You can't see anything in the dark, but your natural human instinct just tells you this is so much worse. So much worse. All of you will lose one stability, and each of you have an emotion come over you. There are multiple emotions you can have. Some of them are angry, sad, scared, or guilt-ridden. I'd like each of you to just say what emotion is now overriding you.
I'll go with scared.
I feel angry, I think, because this thing, or whatever it is, or this whole night is just put in front of us. I get so angry, I'm having a hard time to focus.
You feel Fred's hands on both your wrists just start to shake slightly, and breathing comes out a little more shuddered as we just edge our way towards the door and hope nothing notices us.
You make your way to the door, Fred. You push open the door. It starts to open. You can see outside, but even here it's dark. The rain is now even louder because the fire escape leads straight out into the night. But you've made it out. You're out of the apartment. What does everyone do? It's still dark. At least you're out of the apartment.
I'm going to go straight for my holstered gun, and I'm going to go ahead and pull it out. Still panicking.
Yeah, I'm just going to... If no one else moves as fast as I am, I'm just going to take the lead and try and get out of this building.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to follow, but I think I'm a bit too scared to still try and draw the stiletto I have in my pocket, and I'm just... Can't wait to relax for a moment, and I just finger the side of my cigarette case and just keep walking.
Well, there are two ways you can go. You can try the fire escape, or you can begin running down the stairs. The fire escape would obviously be quicker, but then there's all this rain. The stairs, safer, but then slower.
I think I'll still take the stairs, just run down the stairs.
Wouldn't want to fall 6 stories down a fire escape in the rain.
Yeah, I'll see that they're heading towards the stairs, and I'll follow them.
You will begin making your way to the stairs. Again, in the gloom and the dark, you can't see very far, but you can make out the shape of the stairs, and you can feel the banister, so again, you start making your way down, and as soon as you begin, you then hear this strange, discordant shriek. Something is noticed, and you just feel a presence suddenly charging past that door. You hear the door burst off its hinges as something just comes out of the apartment and is at the top of the stairs. What do you do?
I let out a scream as I'm now running down in full panic.
Everyone, roll act under pressure. Roll your coolness, please.
15.
That will be a 16 for me.
And as I am, I'm just running panickingly down the stairs. I roll an 8.
Fred and Georgette, you begin barreling down these stairs. You don't care what's up there, you don't want to know, and all you know is that these stairs eventually lead to an exit out of this building, out into the rain, but at least you'll be on the floor. Liz, you too are doing your best to run, but then you just trip After all, it's dark. You can't see what you're doing. You kind of hit the railing hard, but you don't fall completely. But you stop. And then the lights in the building sort of come on again, just for a moment, a sort of flicker of light, and you see Liz coming down the stairs, closing in on you. People. But no, they're not people. It's sludge, but it's not sludge. It's people. It's both. It's like a sort of sludge-based soup, but it's not chicken soup, or, you know, that nice soup you like to have that your mother used to make you. It's got arms and legs and heads and eyes. It's about 7 or 8 or 10 or 20, you don't really know, as you see this thing just slurping down the stairs towards you. I'd like you once again to roll to keep it together.
5.
It's too much. It's too much. You suffer -2 to your stability as you simply stare at this thing and you freeze, screaming. Fred and Georgette, Liz is behind you. She's screaming, and again, as you saw the light sort of come on again for a minute and then go off, you just saw her standing and staring at something, but she's not moving. What did you two do?
Since I was able to keep it together, I'm immediately going to just pivot on the soles of my shoes and rush back and try to grab Liza and just pull her back towards me, back towards the bottom of the stairs.
I'm going to follow suit with Fred. I'm going to have my gun aimed towards the direction of whatever she was staring at and just, like, make sure to have Fred's back during it.
Liz, people in the dark grab you. Who are they? What do you do?
I kind of flail with my arms, just trying to get everything away from me, because everything is so scary right now. I'm just fighting against everything, I feel like.
Fred, you are the one taking the lead, so you will roll your coolness. But I will allow you, Georgette, to assist. Again, you can roll your coolness, and you'll hopefully add a nice modifier to Fred's roll, as not only is Liz panicking and flailing, but you also really hope that you're able to get down the stairs quick enough, so please roll your coolness.
Well, that will be a 12 for me.
Well done, you will add a +1 to Fred's roll.
Alright, that's greatly appreciated, as I'm avoiding the fist that has the brass knuckles on it as best as I can. I roll a 17 with the +1 for my coolness.
Georgette, you are able to run up quickly and just help Fred quickly get Liz moving. She's flailing, but between the two of you, you actually get her back down the stairs. Fred, for a moment, you just feel that something is literally right behind you. You don't have time to turn or look. You don't think you want to. You just get Liz down those stairs, and the three of you just begin barreling down these stairs as quickly as you can. All of you hear something coming down the stairs, slowly, groaning, slurping, but you think you're getting ahead. And then you're on the ground floor, and you think you see the door leading outside. You actually think you can see streetlights. Streetlights are coming back on, flickering on and off, but there's definitely streetlights.
Oh, hell yes. As fast as I can, I'm trying to mutter as soothing words as possible while holding on to Liza and keeping her brass-knuckled hand off to her side so she doesn't punch me in the face. Probably wouldn't be the first time. And I'm just going to shuffle us towards the door. Let's just get to the car. Let's get to the car, figure out what to do. We still have the business card. We can figure this out, but I don't want to know what the fuck that thing was. Let's go.
While Fred's doing this, I'm going to be behind them, and then we keep gradually looking behind me to make sure nothing's sneaking up on us, but following suit.
You barrel out onto the street, into the rain. The rain, which isn't that heavy, actually. It's just a light rain. You all blink a little as suddenly the street lights are bright in your eyes compared to the darkness you were just in. You see behind you the apartment, the lights of other apartments just going on. and all of you hear this strange, pained now, screeching sound of something horrific, but it's still in the building, and you're out on the street, and you're near your car. What do the three of you do?
I'm gonna get in if it's unlocked immediately.
Fred?
I'm also going to... I'm gonna stay with Liz, and I'm gonna wait to get into the car until I can get her in safely.
The three of you all start barreling into the car. You're back on the street. Georgette, it's a panicked situation, but you can't help but notice... What are those cars? Again, there was another car, wasn't there, outside this place? There was a very nice car, you recall. It's gone. Huh. Liz, how are you feeling? You're in a car. There's street lamps on. But those hands, those eyes, the eyes were looking at you. All of them.
I'm hyperventilating. As I get sort of just put inside the car, I feel like somehow reality is kind of seeping back into me. But what I just saw, I want that smell, the parts of people, the soup. I just grasp the seat and just groan. Ah, what the hell was that thing?
What thing, Liz?
It was parts of people. The parts of people put together in a mess.
While she's saying that, I'm just going to look over to Fred and give kind of like a concerned scowl, almost.
As best as he can while still driving the car, Fred returns as the lines between his eyebrows are deep as his face is kind of scrunched up in its pain or panic or concern or maybe all of them mixed in with what the fuck and why is this happening. But after we take a little bit on the road, I'm going to park underneath a streetlight and just kind of turn to Liza to see if we can't calm her down a bit. What is this about soup?
And I try to make sense of it in my head, but it doesn't make sense. And I just say, I don't know. You heard it, right? You smelled it. I don't know if you saw it, but it was just... It was parts of people, and it was just... Oh, God, I don't know what it was.
Parts of people?
I'm going to reach into my pocket and pull out the cigarette case and just kind of hold one out to Liza.
I kind of fumble with it, but I get it, and I let you light it for me. And I just lean back, taking a deep draw on it. It's just, I don't know what the hell I saw. I don't know what the hell I saw.
Maybe it was your eyes playing tricks on you.
The way that thing broke the door, I wouldn't be surprised if it was something... I don't know what the fuck is going on, but it sounded like slurping on the ground before it came in through the door.
Yes. I don't know if it was the sound of the rain or whatever it was that messed with me, but I was so panicked. I just knew that it was... I was going to be part of that mess.
Well, I think it's just important that we keep it together because we all have things at risk right now.
I think we need to get out of Vegas. Fred, we need to get Joan and we need to get out of Vegas.
You know trying to get her from the casino is going to be one hard job.
Well, what's going to be harder than this?
I don't know. I really don't. The only thing I can think of is we try to get as many answers as possible out of this detective, and hell, maybe Starker's dead, and that might be better news to give the boss in this, so.
Yeah. Alright. Alright.
Let's just hope we find out he's dead and we don't have to go on any more goose chases.
That's right. Okay, if we can get an answer, then... Yeah. Okay. Did you see Did you see anything else, Georgette? You said you saw cars?
Well, there was a car out front when we first came in, and it was gone when we came out. I don't know if someone was there and left while we were preoccupied, maybe? They snuck out?
Well, I was pretty damn preoccupied. I don't think I would have noticed the car if my life depended on it.
I just put the cigarette in my mouth and I pull out the dress that I stole from the other place and I just try and look at that for a minute while they drive.
And you drive. Again, it's a little surreal. After 10 minutes of driving, it's 10:30 now in Las Vegas. The rain is light. Plenty of street lights all around. You even briefly go through the strip and there are people enjoying themselves. Almost doesn't really seem as if what happened to you even happened. But you continue driving, and eventually you'll find your way to a sort of not so nice part of Vegas. But the kind of place you normally find, a PI. A grungy little office. What do you do?
I'll go ahead and while we pull up, I just want to kind of look over the building. What did the detective say to you guys exactly when you called?
I have finished my cigarette and started a new one. Put down the dress. He said that he didn't know anything. I'm not sure if he was scared, if he was just denying anything. I'm sure that you know this Schiller, if she's got these people looking sort of into her, maybe he's worried that they somehow got back to him.
Well, if we did, odds are they probably did too. As we're just kind of parked outside the building, I'm going to look around for a very specific silver Chrysler.
You don't see that car anywhere. There are a lot of parked cars around here. There's also people. This is somewhere near the strip. People are moving around on the street as normal. You can hear the sounds of revelry coming from a bar somewhere nearby. Someone throwing a bottle. Someone saying, hey, what's the big idea?
Same approach as last time, or are we not being civil this time around?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe pretend that we don't have anything to do with my failed call. I don't know. You just, one of you, want to take the lead and pretend that this is just, maybe we want to, hey, we want to hire you for something, or I don't know.
The only way we can do is check. Leave the talking to me at first. If I can't get anything from him, we'll try to, I don't know, do it another way. It's not normally my cup of tea, and that's, I don't like violence, but I very much prefer Joan being alive.
I close the door, and I just throw the cigarette butt on the ground.
Cigarette helps, Liz. Feels good. Feels normal.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good. You talk. I'll back you up if I need to.
You're the one that talked to him before. If you talk, he might recognize it. So try to leave this to me. If, you know, shit goes to hell in a handbasket, absolutely help out.
I give you kind of a dry smirk. Don't say anything.
Oh, don't give me that. As I just start walking across the street over to the office.
You begin entering this building. It's one of those buildings where you can walk in and then there's several offices. You see a tailor, a publisher's office, something like that. And then, okay, a little floor plan. Ah, here we go. Roger Moran. You move around a little. You see a janitor sort of swabbing the floor with a mop. The building's still open, but you think to yourself, probably not for much longer. It's almost 11 o'clock now. But you do see a door. Roger Moran, private investigator. There does seem to be a light on behind the door. It's one of those doors with the glass sort of window in the door itself. Tinted, of course.
I'm going to straighten myself up and I just fix the suit up as much as possible and run my hair back through my hair, which I desperately need more hair wax at this point.
and I'm going to walk up to the door, clear my throat, and then just knock.
You knock a few times. You hear a response from the other side.
Yeah.
Hey, name's Fred. You Roger Moran? Moran?
Yeah. Nearly closing time, you know.
I know, this won't take more than a couple minutes, so, you could just let us in. We'll give you a brief convo about what's going on, and if necessary, we'll talk to you later.
Door's open. Come in.
I turn and give a cheesy smile and a thumbs up to the other two as I fix myself again and open the door.
You open the door. You can't see anyone right away, but you do see an office. There's a ceiling fan going back and forth, back and forth. It's got all the classic hallmarks of this sort of place. You know these sort of people. They normally do kidnap cases or someone's cheating on someone's wife, that sort of thing.
I can't help but chuckle to myself when Fred is... he's doing his best to try and keep our spirits up. I just shake my head and try to stick to the back so that Georgette can go first.
Yeah, I'm going to stay next to Fred's side.
You all walk in, and you, Fred, then hear a very distinctive click. You turn and see a man sitting in a chair. In one hand is a large glass of whiskey. In the other hand is a very big revolver pointed directly at you.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying where we played the adventure Gallery of Souls for Cult Divinity Lost. Gallery of Souls was written by Magnus Sæther for the second edition of Cult and was just translated by our own Matthias and re-released for Cult Divinity Lost by our friends at Helmgast. Go to cultdivinitylost.com to download your copy. Joining Craig and Hjalmar was Nikita Cake from Devil's Luck Gaming and Jada Jester from Near Dark Studios. Check them both out if you need more high-quality role-playing in your life. The music was made by Atrium Carceri and was used with permission from their label Cryochamber. Check out their website at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for some moody, dark ambient. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon: Martin Hoyschaubert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, David Hogbarry, and Camilla for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. Thank you again for listening, and remember, death is only the beginning.